the third time. And he said, well, we had to answer him because if we don't, he will leave and we want him to come with us. So the Imam says, we replied his salam and then the Prophet came in. فَقُلْنَا وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَدَخَلَ. And then he would enter the house. Now, how do we apply this in our time? Now, sometimes we go to someone else's house. We ring the bell once. They don't answer. They do it twice. They don't answer. Sometimes we insist. Sometimes we know that the person is inside the house. Sometimes you can even hear them talking. But sometimes maybe that person is going through problems of his own. He's not in a good mood. He doesn't want to talk to anyone. He doesn't want to see anyone. Don't insist on them. Leave them be. You rang once, you rang twice, you rang three times. If you got no answer, just walk away. That is the akhlaq of the Prophet. If you find yourself insisting, then that's a problem.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Sometimes we do the same thing when it comes to calling people. We call once, they don't answer. Twice, they don't answer. Three times, they don't answer. Sometimes we keep on going. You called once should be enough. I mean, he will get notified. He will see the missed call from you. No need to keep bugging the person. Maybe he's at work. Maybe he just wants a time off. Maybe he wants to feel comfortable. Whatever the reason might be, don't insist. Let people like you for your akhlaq. So the Prophet would say, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. If no answer, he would walk away. And this is also in the Quran as well. It says, if you go ask if you're allowed to come in, go. If you're not, leave. Don't insist. So we need to learn from the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that we greet people with salam, regardless of their age, regardless of whether we know them or not, we're good them or not. Salam should be the identity of a Muslim. That's one. Two, in terms of going to people, knocking in their house, trying to notify them of our coming, of our presence, we should not also insist. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, Ya Rasulullah,
In the limelight.
Last Sunday marked the anniversary of 9/11, which paved the way for the US to invade and plunder West Asia and North Africa region under the excuse of countering terrorism. The US, which is a terrorist regime itself, named this exploitation as the Global War on Terror, which had nothing to do with countering terrorism. Rather, it was a tactic for draining the resources of countries under its occupation. And the worst thing is that all those who committed these crimes were never held accountable. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned for the second part. RT, in an op-ed, wrote, after 20 years of wandering in the geopolitical wilderness of the West Asia and Central Asia, America emerged a much weaker nation militarily, economically, and diplomatically. Compounding this diminishment was the fact that while America was engaged in its two-decade act of self-immolation, the rest of the world was not treading water, but rather moving forward, building their own capabilities, which, while not necessarily designed to confront the United States, put them in a far more adventurous position if the time ever came to do so. These lessons were magnified by the chaotic classroom of American democracy, where the world bore witness to the wild vacillations of policy and principle that came from a two-party system at war with itself. 8 years of the neoconservative aggression of George W. Bush was followed by 8 years of neoliberal deception under Barack Obama. The 4 years of Hobbery-driven chaos that was the Trump administration has in turn been replaced by 2 years of misguided and incompetent revanchism by a Biden administration operating under the premise that one can undo the damage done by decades of American policy failure by simply willing it away. American democracy, the ostensible shining city on the hill that was supposed to inspire the rest of the world to want to be like them and as such follow their lead, had been exposed as a Potemkin village, little more than a ghetto disguised as an upscale suburb. The world was able to see this transformation occur before its very eyes. Americans, on the other hand, remained blissfully unaware, coerced into ignorant submission by the false promise of unconstrained consumerism. Debts, however, must eventually be paid. 9/11 at 20 plus 1 reflects the reality of many of these bills, domestic and foreign, coming due. The 20 plus 1 anniversary of 9/11 finds the United States in a political civil war that threatens to explode into partisan-driven violence of a scope and scale unseen since the original American Civil War. The dominance of the US dollar as the world's reserve currency is very much in doubt, as global markets, fed up with American interference in their sovereign economic decisions, are dropping the dollar in favor of regional currency baskets. After chiding Russia as being little more than a gas station disguised as a nation, the United States and its allies find themselves in the position of motorist, stranded on a highway in the middle of a wilderness. Their fuel tanks empty and no gas station in sight, mainly because they closed all the stations before undertaking their journey. The economic sanctioning of Russia by the collective West has turned into an act of self-harm, with economies of Europe collapsing and America unable and or unwilling to save them. Al Jazeera English also wrote, the September 11, 2001 attacks on the United States ushered in a new era of hate crimes, racism, and xenophobia against Muslims. For Muslim Americans, the post-September 11 ramifications of Islamophobia continue as the 21st anniversary of the attacks is solemnly marked. According to FBI statistics, hate crimes against Muslims in the United States skyrocketed immediately after September 11, 2001, and are still on an upward trend. Muslims continue to be the target of hate, bullying, and discrimination as a result of the stereotypes that were perpetuated by Islamophobes and the media in the years following 9/11 attacks, said Hossam Ailush, executive director of Los Angeles chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, adding, 21 years after the attacks, Muslims continue to face the threat of targeted violence. After September 11, Ailush said, there was a perfect storm of American people and its government needing a common enemy. The unfortunate reality is there are people and organizations that benefit from perpetuating Islamophobia, bigotry, and war, he said.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين
لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين
لبيك يا حسين
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, we are in a hotel close to Hazrat Abu al-Fazl Abbas, alayhi salam, and I'm going to talk to one of the pilgrims of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
What is your name?
My name is Rumana Kazmi. I'm from London, and I've come for the Ziyarah of Arba'in. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. How many times have you been to Karbala?
13 times.
How many times on Arba'in?
Arba'in, I think I have been 5 times, 5 to 6 times.
Did you get here on foot?
Yes, it's my 3rd year I've walked from Najaf to Karbala.
How was it? Can you talk a little about the atmosphere on the way?
This walk has been an amazing experience. Like myself, I'm a preacher, so I recite majalis all over the world for the last 18 to 19 years. And I, of course, read a lot of books to learn about Islam and about the Ahlul Bayt. But sometimes I think that when I do this walk, all the books which can teach you is something different, but this walk is something which is in reality. So the love, the compassion, generosity, you see in action. And when you see that, you feel that this learning is very amazing learning than the learning you get from the books.
Can you tell us a little about the philosophy of Arba'in walking? Why do people walk toward the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
You see, as we come from one of the narrations from the sixth Imam, where he narrates that the benefits of the Zair, like when you become the Zair of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there are several merits and benefits about it. And one of them is that when you start even the intention from your house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you under the guidance and the blessings of so many angels. And when you take one step towards the shrine of Abu Abdullah, so many of your sins are washed away. But I feel that the philosophy of walking towards the shrine of Abu Abdullah from different areas, I think it's like about empathizing. In reality, we can never feel the pain of the Ahlul Bayt, what they went through. But sometimes when we take those painful experiences, which we do it while we are walking, we just can connect sometimes to the reality how the ladies of the Ahlul Bayt without any facilities walk. Today when we walk, alhamdulillah, the people of Iraq are so generous. They teach us during this walk that what is the real meaning of charity. When they give us food, they want to kiss your hand. When they rub your feet, they want to, you know, hug you. And it's like that hadith of the Prophet, when you give charity to somebody or when you give anything to someone, you try to kiss that person because it's an opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity for the giver. And I talked to several people of the owner of the Mokkibs, the host, and they said, we do saving throughout the year to run this market. So the philosophy of walking was you try to really connect to the musibah when you hear it, but while you're walking, you connect yourself to them, and that is really, really beneficial. And the other thing was that while we were walking, we saw different nations and diversity of people from different languages and tribes, but they all speak one language, is what, you know, love of Hussein. And I feel that that is the real success that Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura, if you see, apparently he lost everything. But when you see millions of people today just saying, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, you think that that is the eternal success.
And what do you want from Imam Hussein when you see the dome?
Just make us come here every time, and all the Zawars from everywhere in the world, give them opportunity to come here.
Inshallah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You have instilled in our heart, in a world where hopes disappear. Peace you have ingrained in our soul, in a time when peace becomes rare. Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave mankind's heart, it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein plan to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Muhammad Abbas, and I'm here in the holy city of Karbala for Arba'in of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
And what is your occupation, sir?
I work as a medical doctor, a physician, in the UK.
Thank you. Did you get here on foot?
Yeah, we flew to Najaf, and then we walked with the other pilgrims, alhamdulillah, to Karbala by foot. Yeah, we walked.
What makes you walk toward Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
The concept of coming for Arba'in is something that is synonymous with Bibi Zainab salamullahi alayha. She immediately after the tragedies of Karbala Kufa Sham, she first thing she wanted to do was come to see Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I think that love for Imam Hussein alayhi salam resonates with us in our hearts, and we want to come to see him. And I think the chance to walk towards him, to demonstrate our love by saying, this is how much we're desperate to see you, that we'll do anything to come towards you, and to walk with everyone else in a sea of love, really. All these people walking together, one direction, just full of love towards Imam Hussein al-Islam. The people who serve the Zuwar, they love to see you. They're desperate to help you because they're desperate to serve Imam Hussein al-Islam because they love Imam Hussein al-Islam. You're all desperate to talk to them, to meet them, to walk with other people, to sleep in difficult situations, to walk with pains, and to take on hardships because you love Imam Hussein al-Islam. You want to say, I'm here, look at all the things I'm doing. Even though I can't offer myself at the time of Karbala, I was prevented, as the Imam says in Ziyarat al-Nahya, I was prevented from being there with you. But this is what we'll offer, a small sacrifice to just remind ourselves of Karbala and the chance to be there with Imam.
Thank you. I heard that you have some activities on the net.
There's an organization called whoishussein.org, which is has become quite a large organization, alhamdulillah, through the shafa of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and through the love of him, really. Many people in the world have partaken to spread his message. Not so much to make people, to change them, to bring them towards Islam or anything like that, more to say, look, this is a person who, if you take him out of everything, away from every sort of religious context, he's a person who anyone in the world can resonate with. Anyone in the world can fall in love with him because his stand was for humanity. His stand was of morality, and it's inspiring. And it's something that everyone in their heart, when they say, this is the kind of person I would like to be, they say, wow, that Hussein is exactly the type of person I'd like to be. His stand was such a stand of honor, of humility, of bravery, of courage. He took on so many hardships, more than anyone could ever bear. And yet he showed the best of morality, best of akhlaq throughout this whole journey, throughout even till the end. And he even shows his passion and his feeling towards God, that he says that if you ask for more, I would give you more. And I think that concept of selflessness, really, it comes into everyone in the world today, and they all want to be like him. So yes, this organization, Who is Hussein, has grown in that idea to tell people about him, and also to be him, to be his message, to live it through helping through altruistic activities, helping it to encourage blood donation towards anybody in the world, helping to prevent water poverty, and helping to generally improve conditions for those who are more impoverished around the world.
So through your organization, you're trying to help people know Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And what do you want from him, from Imam Hussein alayhi salam?
From Imam Hussein alayhi salam, nothing. He's given everything. We don't have anything to ask from him. He has given everything already. He's given everything he could and more. We just hope and pray that we can stay with him until the end, inshallah, and to stay on his path, and really to be true to his message, to not call ourselves Husseinis or Husseinias, and to be those people who say, I'm a Shia of Hussein, but really to live a different life, that if he was here, he would say, this is not how I want you to behave. Really what we want is his guidance in our life and his remembrance every day, that fire in our hearts, and that remembrance of him will inspire us, definitely, 100%, to become better human beings. And that's all we want from Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Thanks a lot. I hope that we could be the true followers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Inshallah, yes. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Dear listeners, for now, bye.
No one fails.
Technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinan County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinong has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life. Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to old people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodile seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services. Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-colored foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colors mixed by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food coloring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience. You never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves its purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theatre. We'll be right back. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a 5-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week, and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Today, inshallah, we'll be working on Ayah 6 of Surah Al-Baqarah. In the previous sessions, we worked on the first Ayah, second, third, and fourth, and fifth Ayat. And today, inshallah, we'll be working on the Ayah number 6 in this Surah. The same as the previous sessions, first and foremost, we'll listen to this Ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
So, alhamdulillah, it was a great recitation. Now, let's recite it together. Ready, Fawad, Ali Nasir, and Hussein?
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم.
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم.
أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
Now the whole ayah. إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنت أحسنت. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. So what do you think? Does Allah Almighty talk about the muttaqin in this ayah? It means the messages of the ayah or the meaning of the ayah is now different from the previous ayahs. So this ayah is not going to talk about muttaqin. So this ayah, Allah Almighty starts in this ayah talking about those who do not believe. About the non-believers. Okay, the kuffar. So what does Allah Almighty say? Inna alladhina. Inna, the word inna, remember. Inna, anna. Okay, these words.
Oh.
They are like the word. They have emphasizes. Okay, the meaning. Inna. Inna says surely. This is an emphasis, okay, to the ayah, the words that come after this. So, inna alladhina kafaru, surely those who do not believe. Surely the faithless people, the non-believers, okay? Surely the non-believers, kafaru, those who, the non-believers, alladhina kafaru, those who do not believe, okay, or did not believe to Allah Almighty or the divine scripture, the Quran that you have, okay? Inna alladhina kafaru. Sawa'un alayhim.
If you scare them?
Sawa'un alayhim. If you scare them? No. The meaning is not that.
Yes, it is.
No, sawa means it is equal. It's the same for them. Sometimes you, for example, Fawad Haider comes to me. Okay, Ali Nasir? Fawad Haider comes to me and says that, sir, I want to go out. I'm saying, okay, go out. He goes out. Second time he says, for example, once he comes to me, I want to go out. I say, no, don't go out. He goes out. First time, I allowed him to go out. I give him permission. But the second time, I didn't give him permission, but it was the same for him. Even if I allow him or not, he just goes out. Yes? Or for example, Hussein Rahullah comes to me. He wants to buy something. He says that, sir, I want to buy this mobile phone. I say, Hussein, don't buy this. This is not a good phone, okay? You will regret, really. You don't have to spend your money, waste your money on this. He says, no, I like this. I love this. This is a great phone, okay? I said, okay, buy this. He buys it, okay? The next time that I want to tell him, okay, that, oh, this mobile is so nice, buy this one. It's not his own wish, okay? No, he says, no, I don't like it. So he doesn't listen to me. Even if I tell him good things, he listens, does not listen to me. Bad things, does not listen to me, okay? So non-believers are like this. Allah Almighty says that. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who are non-believers, the faithless people, okay? O Prophet, the faithless people, okay? It is the same for them. It is the same for them, okay? That whether you warn them of the day of judgment or not, it is the same for them. They will not have faith. They will not believe. Why? Because their hearts are dark. Their hearts are locked down. Okay? Their hearts are not in the way of guidance. They are not guided. So, those people that they do not believe. So it is the message of this ayah. So one message I want to tell you, that those who, like Fawad and Hussein Rahullah, do not listen to your words, okay? Do not give them any recommendations. Do not give them any advices. Okay?
Leave them.
So even if you tell them anything, nothing. They will not listen to you. So don't waste your time, okay, on them.
It's our work to say. Yeah.
It is your object. It is your responsibility. Whenever you see someone, he's like going to the wrong path, you got to guide them. But if they didn't listen to you, if they even didn't pay attention, didn't care about you, leave them alone. Okay? سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ أَأَنذَرْتُمْ, even if you warn them, أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ, even if you do not warn them, it's equal for them. They will not believe in you. Okay? So, let's recite this ayah again. And we will work on tajweed rules. Then, inshallah, in the next ayahs, okay, ayat, in the verses, Allah Almighty will explain, okay? خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَىٰ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Okay? Then, inshallah, we'll learn.
هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ يُوَحِّدُنَا لِطَرِيقِ الْخَيْرِ يُوَجِّهُنَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَنزَلَهُ وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ مُعَلِّمُنَا
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So now listen to Hussein Ruhullah. Hussein Ruhullah will read this ayah. We will repeat after him.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون
أحسن أحسن Let's recite
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون
أحسن إن إدغام مثلين yes with غنة إن الذين pronunciation of the letter ذال كفروا plural واو And waw mad is. Yes, kafaru.
Yes.
Sawa'un mad we have. What type of mad is it?
Madu tabi.
Madu tabi. Mashallah, but that's wrong.
Wajib muttasil, yes.
Wajib muttasil. Why? Because the letter Hamza and the harf al-mad, which is alif maddi, both are in the same word. Sawa'a. So, stretch it for how many counts?
Four. 2, 6.
Uh-huh. Stretch it for what?
Sawa'u.
سواء أحسن سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم okay أأنذرتهم نون ساكن plus ذال yes إخفاء أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم نون ساكن plus حسين رضي الله
إخفاء
ذال إخفاء
yes
plus إخفاء نون ساكن plus ذال إخفاء أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون لا يؤمنون so you can recite this way let me try
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون لا يؤمنون
if you say this The message will be a little clear, yes?
لا يؤمنون They will never believe.
Okay, لا يؤمنون They will not believe. So one of the points in recitation is, if you want to recite it, the best way is to pay attention to the meaning of the ayah. Whom Allah Almighty talks to. If Allah Almighty is talking to the mu'mineen and giving them the news of Jannah, heaven, so recite it with a good way.
أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون
But when it comes to kafirin, okay, the non-believers,
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون. Like a sad one, okay? Sad voice. We have in recitation, we have different vocals we have, okay? And each vocal sound, okay, has its special purposes. So some vocals, okay, are used to recite in a happy way. Okay, some are in a very hard way. What, for example, it's warning. It's warning, okay? And sometimes it's like for a sad type of recitation. So I hope, inshallah, you've learned something from the explanations, from the tajweed rules in this ayat. So now, inshallah, we'll recite the whole ayahs from ayah first to the sixth ayah together, okay? Then, inshallah, we'll end this session.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio, and also thanks to Sever International Schools Network. And first and foremost, thanks to Allah Almighty. Inshallah, see you in the coming sessions. Stay with us. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.